Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope looks ahead at the year in entertainment, an update of a classic competition is reviewed, and Gary's check finally clears, allowing him to return to the show.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Yes, indeed, this is the Depeche Mode Danceteria, or as I like to call it, the Scope episode 43. We are down one regular host, and we're up two fill-in hosts, Jared.
That's fantastic news, Shane.
For the people that can figure it out, Jared is here.
That's me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here.
Mr. Adam is not here. He is on assignment, as they say.
How come he has to be absent from the show for him to actually get some respect from you?
I don't know, but it's the way it has to be. Hopefully Adam will show up in the next episode, which would be 44. Until that day arrives, we've got two, yes, count them, two people filling in. Let's go around the table. We will start with the man.
Thank you for identifying his gender.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And thank you for giving me the visual cue.
And there
for
were
the
no pants that needed to be dropped. Oh, no. Shane was right on top of that one.
You can tell by that sexy, bassy voice. Gary's in the house.
Hello.
Hello, Gary. Already we're up in points compared to Adam, and your voice is perfect for podcasting and radio. Adam's a little too high-pitched and jewy for my taste, but we'll just let it roll and see what happens.
Give us a little In a World Overrun with Crime or something of that nature.
This is The Scope Show.
How about this is CNN?
This is CNN.
Thank you.
And our second fill-in host, you heard her voice. It's Molly. It's the fifth unofficial... Super host of the show.
Are we getting jerseys soon?
Yeah.
Yep.
The inimitable.
I still want a trophy.
Molly, thank you for showing up.
You're welcome.
Without a trophy, we appreciate it. You and I have something in common. We're both wearing headgear or knitted caps because the temperature is 45 degrees below zero and dropping.
When it gets cold enough, I actually weave my hair into a cap.
We may not get out of the house. Jared's house has a problem with freezing, so...
I have a hoodie.
What are you talking about?
It's going to be alive in here later on. We're all going to be frozen and eating each other's flesh.
Now, my water in my kitchen might freeze overnight, but I don't think anyone else is in peril.
Well, that's good to go. Well, we're going to try to keep this show lean and mean. That's the goal for 2008. We want to have quicker, faster, tighter shows, and changes are afoot in the world of The Scope, but we won't get into that too much, suffice it to say, although I will say that we're going to try to change things up. Starting now. So let's get right into it. Adam was supposed to be here, and we were going to talk about the tragic loss of his Washington Redskins. They did absolutely terrible in football, got killed by the New York Giants.
Well, you know, Shane, when two teams take the field, only one team can win.
Or the Seahawks.
Yeah, it was the Seahawks.
Seahawks, I'm sorry.
You call yourself a fan.
I just am not a fan, I guess.
No, that's that much is true.
But actually, that ties into what I wanted to talk about. Not necessarily Super Bowl picks, but this is a question that's been going on in the Twin Cities the past week, if you've been listening to sports radio, and I brought it up with Jared.
I haven't, actually. What's the question?
The question is, and it comes down to this. The Green Bay Packers are in the NFC Championship game playing against the Seahawks, right, Jared?
No, against the Giants.
That was an intentional.
What? Really?
Yes, that was intentional.
We're going to have to ask the listeners to write in and tell us if they think that was intentional.
It was completely intentional. My acting ability is great. The thing is this. Fans across the Twin Cities area, fans of the Vikings, are wondering, should they be cheering for the Packers or should they not be cheering for the Packers? My feeling is this. If you are a true fan of the Minnesota Vikings, there is absolutely no way you should be cheering for the biggest rival in football.
I disagree
with
you, Shane.
Bay
I disagree. I disagree, and here's why I disagree. I would love to see the Pack go up against the Pats, or the Pates, as actually they should be called if you shorten their name, because they're the Patriots.
We're not going to argue semantics here.
But anyways,
let's carry on.
Green Bay versus the Pats. I think if Green Bay wins, I would love to see that happen. I would love to see Favre retire on top.
So you're saying not only do you want to see the Packers win the championship game, you want to see them win the Super Bowl.
I want to see them win the Super Bowl. I want to see Favre retire on top. That way he's done and no more crying from Green Bay whenever they do lose. Or even actually sometimes when they win, he cries.
It's, wow.
Yeah.
So you,
he also cries when he loses.
You wouldn't like to see the spirit.
Favre cries a lot, yeah.
You wouldn't like to see the spirit of Green Bay, the spirit of Brett Favre crushed. As it should be. I mean, we already know he's a great quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He's
Curly Lambeau.
He's set the records. When he goes out there, he has fun.
He's a kid out there.
He's the only player out there that can go out and he's playing on the field. He just has a good time. That's why he's so good, because he's the only one that has a good time.
I saw him building a snowman last weekend. What's that? What? Were you asking me a question?
The past couple seasons, he's always said, I think this is going to be my last season. Then he always comes back. And this is the first season where he said, I'm actually feeling good out there, and I don't know if I'm going to retire. I say, let them win and let him retire.
I think
that would be my perfect goal.
That's asinine. Because if he wins, there's no way he'll retire. That's what I want to hear.
Shane said asinine.
Happening to Brett Favre. Molly, do you watch football? Do you pay any attention to football?
Here's the deal.
Please.
I'm in a picks league.
Here's the deal.
She's in a picks league. Here's the deal.
Molly.
Got the rattler.
Where I pick who wins, obviously. Mm-hmm. However, I don't pick. Adam picks all my teams for me under the guise that I'm picking all these teams.
And how do you do?
It sounds like what my sister's fiancé does for her.
Sounds lazy.
How do you do on that picks league?
Well, last week I was in second by 1 point. Except this week, we didn't do so well in the playoffs, so we're down. Hmm.
Well, I'm just going to say I think that's the only way women should be involved in any sort of fantasy football. Can I get an amen?
No.
Just kidding.
All that matters to me is my friends think I'm the one picking. So
yes.
They think I'm intelligent when it comes to football.
So obviously her friends don't listen to the Scope Show.
No.
No.
So let me ask you.
Secret exposed on the next edition of the Scope.
No, I do baseball and hockey. I don't do football.
But what say you about the definition of fanatic or fan?
Isn't fan short for fanatic?
It is.
If I were a fanatic or a fan, I would say hell no would I be cheering for that other team to win. You
know? I mean, does the fans of the Boston Red Sox cheer for the Yankees when they're in the World Series?
They cheer for any team to beat the Yankees. I mean, and that's how it should be with every sport.
Can you honestly say though you want the Pats to take it all this year?
Sure, why not?
I just hate them so much.
But you should hate the Packers more. You are a Vikings fan. You've gone to games.
Yeah.
You've watched them on television.
Yeah.
Do you think you had to deal with their fans?
I can completely see what you're saying.
On any regular year,
yes. But the fact that the Patriots have gone undefeated, that just cries for somebody to upset them, and I want to see that happen.
Let me ask you this.
Greg Coleman is your godfather? I mean, it's crazy.
Would the Green Bay Packer fans ever cheer for the Vikings?
No,
they'd probably sneak into the Metrodome and crap on the floor instead of using the toilet.
Well, that'd be before or after they downed a six-pack and a couple of
They do
of
that
hours.
Anyways, they, whether
exactly.
the Vikings were there or not.
Peeing in sinks.
They would buy out our tickets, wear the other team's jerseys, and cheer for them instead of us.
And light off illegal fireworks in their
and
dome.
That's what makes me better than the Pack fans.
Very good. Now I want to go to Jared.
What about Pac-Man, though? Let's talk about him.
Jared.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this. I know your opinion. I'm sure that after all of this great debate, you've changed your mind completely, and you're going to come around to my way of thinking, correct?
I'm eternally torn on this one. I won't make my decision until game day.
Oh, so you're actually saying you're considering cheering for those cheese-eating
Here's a problem.
Scotties?
If it were just about any other team against the Packers, I would be with you 100%. But
exactly.
I hate the Giants. I cannot stand them,
but it's hard for me to cheer. You hate the Giants more than you hate the Packers?
Maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
Packers impacting the Vikings season every year, much more than our friends from New Jersey/New York.
I don't think the Pack influenced our season this year. I think we influenced our season this year. So,
I'm just saying that we are playing them twice a year, Gary. Twice a year.
Yeah.
And that means something. That means something. You know, two teams take the field, one team wins.
I said that earlier.
It could end in a tie, Shane.
It's statistically really
very rare.
Yep.
So, Jared...
in the rule book.
So, how about a tight show here, Shane?
Well, we're only up to 10 minutes, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Gradually, we're tightening things up. Come on.
Well, normally this segment would go a half an hour, Gary.
This is an important topic.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do like where Gary's going with this, so let's just push on and find out what's coming up in the rest of the show.
Hear, hear.
We're looking ahead to the year 2008.
It's gonna be tight, y'all.
What do we think is going to happen in the world of movies, in the world of television, and the world of music. Now, it's very interesting because we got this writer strike going on, which impacts two of the three, and I think that will taint, yes, I said taint our B block.
It's a perfectly valid word, Shane. Perfectly valid word.
Perfectly valid word. We're also going to be reviewing the revitalized, brand new, but yet old, American Gladiators playing on NBC.
NBC.
Hulk Hogan.
NBC.
NBC. So everybody, episode...
Gotta keep it lively, folks.
Episode 43 pushes ahead on your place for the best talk of the morning and three 90-minute music sets every day, Jared. That's the scope.
Let's keep it rolling.
Let's listen in as friends and family of the scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, I'm Sarah. I've known Jared and Shane for a long time, nearly 15 years. We've all changed, but we remain close. But then there's Adam. Adam. Who the hell is this guy? I've only met him a few times, but I have to be honest, I don't trust him. There's something about him that I just can't figure out. His shiftiness, the way his eyes dart around a room, the way he looks like the cops are going to bust in at any minute. And let's be honest, his body scent certainly doesn't help.
Worst you ever.
So, this warning goes out to you, Adam. I'm watching you. And when I figure you out, you are going down. Hard. You're listening to The Scope.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
You're listening to Hudson.
Hudson's the Road! The breakup of 2008 from the PodSafe Music Network. What do you think of that, Jared?
That was terrible.
Well, you didn't turn my mic on right away.
No, your mic was up
your
just fine.
Your mic was on.
Oh, I thought that my mic was off.
You gotta just attack it with vigor.
So I'm gonna attack something with vigor. And that is our look ahead at the year 2008. Right around this time, every year, everyone, people spend a lot of time looking back, but we are going to look forward, figure out what's going to happen. Normally, I just, when we've done this segment before, I would just list off a bunch of movies, music, TV, and then we talk about it. But since so much is going on in the world of pop culture, I thought we'd sort of bunch this up a little bit and talk about overriding themes.
Oh, yeah.
And get into it. So let's start with television, everybody. I'm titling the year of 2008 television the year of reality.
Not hot.
And why do I say that, guys? Right now, we're currently suffering through a major writer's strike. Will it ever end? We're not sure.
No.
We're, what, 2 months now?
Yeah. Most scripted shows are now out or nearly out of new episodes.
Or being held off till like May.
Exactly.
Whatever is left.
Or for big, big events.
Exactly. Networks are adapting by presenting tons of new reality shows. So far, the ratings actually have been pretty good for
well, what are people
going to
do? They're going to watch something, aren't they?
And sometimes stronger. Sometimes the reality show ratings are stronger than the scripted shows they are replacing. And by the way, American Idol and Big Brother are going to be back on the air, so it's going to be 18 nights of television covered because they each of those shows have like 5 or 6 episodes a week. It seems like so. Spring is going to feel a lot like what it normally does. Actually, winter and spring, but come summer, there mean to be no scripted shows whatsoever. So let's talk about this. Question number one.
Yes.
Will the writer's strike clear up before the season is lost? And what will happen with pilot season and the fall 2008 schedule? What I'm getting at is about this time, networks are getting scripts for pilots.
Yep.
And I think they start filming them. So they start making their decisions in March.
Well, they have to do all their upfronts in May. So yeah.
Exactly. So the question is, with no scripts, what is going to happen with the 2008 fall schedule, Gary?
The fall schedule is going to be... It's horrible. Luckily, though, I think, with the Writers Guild actually making an agreement with Worldwide Pants, David Letterman's production company, and to at least get some of those writers back, that's a good sign that eventually, actually, once these guys all start sitting down at the table again, because they haven't for a month,
mm-hmm.
I think once they sit down, we will get a resolution. It's just getting them to sit down at this point.
Now, and I'm going to interrupt you. Breaking news, the Writers Guild, or not the Writers, the Directors Guild
yep.
just signed. Settled their contract, yep. So they're saying that might pave the way for the yes. writers, but who knows?
But
that's actually
what isn't SAG coming up, too?
Yeah.
Is that June, is that the contract?
Screen Actors Guild, yeah.
Yeah, it's June.
Molly, you know a lot of things about a lot of things. Your opinion?
I think there won't be a fall 2008 with new shows, new pilots. I think it'll all take place starting January, February. So
I would say maybe December, November, December. I don't think it'll be as
I'm
early
saying
as some
probably
of these September
November
shows.
18th. That's just my prediction.
Really?
I'm going right on the limb right now, November 18th.
I think they'll wait till the new year and have a big kickoff.
Jared?
Well, we already know that pretty much the remainder of the 07 season is lost. They're already canceling yes. Production contracts with a bunch of production houses. So, you know, it's a wash. I don't, you know, I think you're going to, you'll if they get the strike resolved in time, you'll see some of the established series come back. But yeah, I don't know what we're going to do for new series. There's just not going to be anything to choose from. So I guess we get more reality.
What about the networks hitting us with a ton of new reality shows in the fall and then
Well, I think they've already started that.
We boycott them?
You can't. What else are you going to watch? That's the question.
You watch movies that you like?
Well,
there's this thing called Netflix. You can get
exactly.
a bunch of TV series.
Exactly. You can
that.
You can watch all these things you've never had time for because your TV schedule is so full. Yes? No?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
So. I plan on catching up on Rome and The Wire. All
not
the HBO
everybody has
I've
Netflix. But
well, then
everyone can.
Everybody will start.
Download,
I can send you out a, you know.
You know, there's lots of different ways you can do it if you don't like Netflix.
I think, if anything, people might actually start taking more vacations and traveling in the summer.
Might spend time with their kids, Shane.
Now, exactly.
One never knows. Although we're in the heart of a recession.
Wait. How did
they
this
might start
strike affect,
working
affect
out.
The,
read them a book. Read them a book.
I don't know. What are you bobbing your head
they
about?
They might
over
do
there?
More podcasts.
Working out.
They might tune
weight.
Into the Scope
maybe.
More.
Yeah, yeah, they might. They
what do you
think
about that? Tune music? Into the Scope as your WGA strike alternative. Right there.
Very
Who's
nice.
On the phone? Who's on the phone?
Somebody's upstairs talking on the phone.
What are you doing on the phone?
I don't know, but it's driving the show right into the toilet. Finally, what does our panel think of the current state of television? Will we recover? You know, you think about what strikes have done to other industries. Take the baseball strike a few years back. How it took years for the fans to come back.
Oh, yeah. The sales of Big League Chew were down forever.
networks already are facing declining ratings with the increase and pressure from cable networks, Netflix, video games, downloadable services. Is TV in big trouble? Are networks in big trouble? Jared?
They're not going away. They're certainly not going away anywhere.
No.
But the bottom line's being affected, definitely. They're going to have to figure out new ways to make money because, yeah, everything you've cited there is already chipping away at their market share. So, you know.
But I think, you know, some of the networks were very wise on holding some of their shows mm-hmm. back so they could have shows this spring in anticipation of the strike.
They could bring back some of the shows that they canceled
prematurely.
Error,
yeah. Well, and there
years
are
past.
We're not getting Firefly back.
We always wanted, like, you know, a 10th season of Different Strokes. Let's go.
I read today that they've got hundreds of scripts, but they're all for bad shows. Mm-hmm. They've got all these scripts they could do if they really needed to, but they're not for the popular shows. So
wouldn't that be fascinating if, you know, you saw the Punky Brewster revitalization or
just shooting from the old scripts? Because mm-hmm. have we seen any of that yet where that some people had speculated that production companies would just start shooting old scripts that were already written?
Well,
has that happened yet?
No, that's what they're looking at. Or, for example, NBC is looking at a Battlestar Galactica spinoff that they passed on, and they said now
Caprica.
That they've yep Caprica, now that they've got it, they're like, oh, maybe we should revisit that and let's go for that instead.
How many scripts are written?
Just because
the writer strike is happening,
yeah.
doesn't mean that these writers aren't writing things. So
they
as soon
just can't
as exactly, right. so as soon as the strike ends, these production companies are going to have scripts.
Actually, according to the rules of the strike, the writers are not supposed to be doing any writing.
I've been reading that a lot of them have been doing writing.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But
somebody's writing for Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Yeah. There's no way they're improvising all of that.
Yes, and Gay Leno as well. So let's move on to music. I think we've pretty much beaten television into the ground. But music, I'm calling this the year the industry finally kicks the bucket. Here are the facts, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
2007 was one of the worst years for CD sales. Overall revenue down by 25%. Physical album sales down 15% from the year 2006, even with an increase of digital downloads by 50%. Few artists broke out with big albums this year. The artists that did would be Josh Groban's Christmas album. Nice. The Eagles sold only in Walmart, and the High School Musical 2 soundtrack. Mm. Isn't that scary? In 2008, you can expect albums from U2, Green Day, Aerosmith, Black Eyed Peas, and Coldplay. So the question is, can these albums save the day, or is it over?
It's funny that you mentioned U2, because when U2 was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Bono had this great comment saying, record labels nowadays wouldn't support a band like us, and we wouldn't get a record contract. And I think that's very true. And that's the problem with the recording industry. They aren't nurturing these artists that they really need to support themselves long term. They're looking for those one hit wonders and quickly produced, quickly.
Well, made. I have to tell you, Gary, I don't know if it's that, if the music industry has changed that much, but here is the problem, is that the end result
people aren't going to the record stores.
Yeah, the end result is that people do not treat music like it is a, you know, something that's important and cherished. Music is just another thing that you can get free. It is amazing how quickly the view of what music is has changed just in the last 5 years. You know, you'd think that it would take a full generational shift, but I think it's just amazing how quickly kids nowadays, the people that are kids that are technically savvy, just music is just another one of those things that I can go on the internet, get for free, and it means nothing.
I agree that the pace of it has accelerated in the last 5 years, but I think this is a hole that's been dug at least starting 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, where everything was about the single, and was actually, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, it was about the single too. But you know, just the whole commoditization of music really, really started, you know, a lot longer ago than I think we're looking at.
But I think the difference is that even 20 years ago, you still had to pay for the music to get it. Mm-hmm. Now you don't. And so that's one revenue stream that's completely
gone. And that's contributing to the acceleration of the
problem. And bands can make money. The problem is the labels aren't making their money. You know, bands can tour, and that's where bands actually make most of their money.
Somebody's got to be making somewhere, because those CDs are not, you know, they don't cost that much to make, and they're selling them for a crazy...
Yeah.
And that's where...
And most of that money off of those album sales go to the record label.
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually the record label's fronting all of the money for the artist.
I think if anything, you know, in the long run, this is going to be good, because this is going to make those artists who don't have contracts work that much harder on honing their acts and working in studio on their own dime and releasing them independently.
Yeah. And the fact that you can record an album at home now completely changes that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I think it is now feasible for the average everyday person or someone with an extreme amount of talent and maybe not the fanciest studio space to go out and record an album.
Like a basement?
Exactly. Mm. But the reality is that where there used to be two revenue streams, now there's one and a half.
And I think the days of the big budget album are going to be a thing of the past. I think it's going to be, you know, the smaller acts.
Well, we'll have to see. Molly, you've listened to music before. You're familiar with music. What do you think about this whole Pandora's box of the downfall of the music industry? Come on. Tight show.
Yeah, you can skip me.
But, okay.
She's never heard music, Gary.
No, I listen to music. I don't think there's a way up. I don't think there's a way
out of it. You know, Connor Oberst, Bright Eyes, you know, you get the White Stripes. You have all these bands who are making good music, a lot of people would say, doing it on the cheap side. You know, they're not going into the studio and spending millions of dollars. They're going and spending thousands of dollars, which is still more than you and I probably can spend, but they're doing it on the cheap. They're not having those highly produced, you know, Timberland and albums like and singles like that.
Even though Timberland, all his stuff's done on a computer. It's not like,
yeah.
But keep this in mind. But
how much did Kanye West spend on his last album? You know, it wasn't a cheap album.
But let's say if he spent $2 million on his album,
how do they spend that much?
Who even knows?
They bring in producers. They bring in beat people. You know,
so it costs them $2 million to produce it,
and they spend forever in the studio,
and they spend forever honing it.
But why?
But then
it
think about
crappy.
what they're losing on illegal music downloads.
Yeah,
you know, it's not even close. I think that we should be wary of getting caught up on how much an album costs to make and think about how much they're actually losing. If that album is being illegally downloaded 100,000 times, which I'm sure it probably is, multiply that by $12.
Yeah, but then when you're touring, that person who illegally downloaded it or legally downloaded it, for a good chunk of people, I think the hype of illegally downloading is blown really out of
proportion. I think you're crazy. I think you're absolutely crazy.
I'm the only person I know that purchased things legally.
I purchase things legally. Shane, do you illegally download?
Do
you want to go on record and say you illegally download things?
I can just say that my purchase of music in stores is very limited.
I don't purchase in stores.
Or purchasing music.
And my counter argument is always that just because something's downloaded doesn't mean that person ever intended to buy it. I mean, of, say, 100,000 people download an album, how many of those people would have spent the money on it if the download wasn't available for free? 10% maybe? Because a lot of people just collect stuff.
And for me, I'll go out and buy songs where I would have never bought a song because I didn't want the whole album before.
I think that's a fair argument, but I also believe that it might be a little... You're underestimating the impact of what that actually has. Because I think that people that like music... might go out and would have purchased an album with one song.
But I'm saying those artists are still touring and they're still going to be able to sell tickets.
Sure, but nowadays...
But then you can talk about the scalping and that's a whole other thing.
But here's the thing, Gary. Nowadays, because studios aren't and record companies aren't making money off of albums, now they're taking that money from the touring. They're taking it from
merch. And that's why I'm saying these bands are going to start going with the big labels, stop going with the big labels and start going with... their own labels are independent, other independent labels.
None of the bands I listen to are big labels.
What about Garth Brooks? Where does he fit in your...
I don't listen to him, Shane.
All right. Well, I think we've all come to
She experiences him. She
you know,
listen.
Nowadays when people can go to the band's website and get that stuff...
Deep down inside.
You don't need a label to do that nowadays.
Boy, you know? We're having two different conversations here. I'll just cap it by saying...
This is absolutely not gay.
No. It is absolutely not gay, and I'm sure you all agree
He's
with me.
He's a friend of mine giggity. Low places.
ladies and gentlemen, we will move on to part three of
checked out of the show. I've got my own joke.
I know. You guys can go off and do your own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Movies.
Yay!
2008. Too many superheroes and sequels?
Yes.
Let me throw this out at you. 2008 doesn't look as grim for movies due to the long lead time it actually takes to... write, produce, film.
Is that because it's an even-numbered year?
Exactly.
It's a leap year.
2009 is going to suck, is what you're saying.
2009 could be a big, big question mark. But let's talk about 2008.
Let's do it.
Superhero films coming this year include The Dark Knight, yep. Iron Man, mm-hmm. The Hulk.
Yep.
I'll count Speed Racer 2. What
you're
the
correct.
Hell? Sequels include Harry Potter.
Why not?
Yeah.
X-Files.
Yep.
Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Narnia.
Sounds
Star
good.
Trek.
Yep.
Angels and Demons, which is the sequel to Da Vinci Code and Ace Ventura. Pet Detective Part 3.
Is where it came?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I do not believe it's a Jim
one
Carrey
big
movie.
Is Steve Carell in that one?
I hope not. So here's the question, and I think we'll all answer this. Yes. Is it a case of the same old, same old?
Yes.
And can Hollywood in general take risks in the summertime? Most of these movies are summer movies. Can they take risks, not saying, you know, obviously they're capable, but considering how fiercely competitive the market is... Can they afford to take risks, I guess is the question.
Molly. Not when they're spending $300 million on a film.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Molly.
You were saying no, and I'm sure there's more to it than that, because you have to have a place from which that's coming from.
No.
I miss that worst Jew ever.
Really?
These words of wisdom were brought to us by Molly.
Now, and Gary, you see a lot of movies.
Not as many as you'd think. I wait till they come out on DVD.
Well, I saw three movies last weekend.
Wow.
Holy moly.
Wow. Do you even see superhero movies? Do you care about those type of event or genre type pictures? Or are you all into Atonement and Kissy Kissy?
I saw Atonement twice.
Wow. I need to see that.
Kissy Kissy, Smooch Smooch.
No, I see all kinds of movies. So I saw, I guess the last superhero movie I saw was the Spider-Man one. But I see a few of them.
Are you going to see
X-Men and all those?
Any of those movies I listed, or any of those?
I'll
those?
See Harry Potter.
And what about the superhero movies?
No. I'll see the Dark Knight.
I like how she has a list in her head. No,
maybe.
No, maybe.
Wait,
wouldn't Harry Potter be a superhero?
I'll rent that one.
He's my superhero. No,
I wouldn't consider him a superhero.
Hey-o. I'll see the.
He protects
the
weak and innocent.
All that.
I'm excited to see Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah, this should be very interesting.
Yeah.
So
the preview they had for it when they were just doing them speaking, no actual picture or anything. Mm-hmm. I liked that trailer. It was a nice little trailer. Got me excited.
So let me ask you this. You know, everyone's
as excited as Garth Brooks does to get you.
Everyone, only he can touch you that way. Yikes. Sorry. Yikes.
Isn't he hooking up with Trisha Yearwood? So, you know, his little sweet muffin on the side.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Guma.
Shh, don't tell her.
You know, everyone bitches about too many sequels, you know, too many genre-type pictures, but yet they seem to pull in a big audience. Here's my question.
There's a lot of dumb people
out
there.
But does Hollywood know us better than we think they know us? Gary.
Well, Shane, what we got here is no. I think
people, they do. If you want to know, the
you
truth.
Know that's why you have these big. That's why you have these big summer movies because people don't want to generally think as much in the summer.
Yeah, they don't want to fight terrorism.
Yeah,
about the Taliban.
Yeah, the whole
shut the country down.
The whole Iraq war movies went nowhere.
Mm-hmm. People don't care about that.
But I think there's a great slate of movies coming up in 2008. Most of them sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But
isn't that 07?
I mean, yeah, 07 was the same. What's old is new. Yeah.
But you know, when was the last Indiana Jones movie?
89.
Yeah.
Well, it is a sequel.
Well, it was.
Yeah, so I think
they were just on the cover of Vanity Fair.
I think it's primed.
Nice on there.
Yeah. Now, Jared, according to the my wife's official list of nerddom, you rank higher than me in Nerd Fever.
This
so
is true.
This whole list of movies directly applies to
fever,
you.
Huh? I got the Nerd Fever. Is there like a medicine I could take? Maybe something like a Lipitor.
I think Pepto Bismol Company is coming out. Something.
Okay, good to know.
Christopher Myers.
What
Squibb?
A Pfizer.
What say you, Jared? Are you excited about these movies, or do you wish that Hollywood would take risks and give us something different?
There's a few that I do like, but overall, I do kind of crave something original, something
thank you.
More interesting.
But you go to the indie circuit for that. And
is there an indie circuit around here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Lagoon?
I do not want to go to the Lagoon ever again. I hate that theater.
Why do you hate the theater?
I don't like going to it.
But why? Just tell me why.
Because it's a pain in the ass to get there.
And their tickets are really even more expensive.
I've fallen in love with
nowadays.
The 10 a.m. $5 movie at my local multiplex.
Bunch of Mary.
But I think, you know, we were talking about the writer's strike and how that would affect it. You know, the big studios have their thing set. You want to go see stuff outside of the box that isn't dealing with the Writers Guild, you go see independent films.
Well, here's
and there's a ton of great stuff out there.
Here's something that was considered outside of the box, but it was gigantically popular. Knocked Up was considered somewhat risk-taking. Rated R.
Did you pull a Kevin Neal and Mr. Subliminal move there?
Yes. Very nice, huh?
Yeah.
And, you know, Superbad didn't do quite as well, but might have captured the imagination of the hipsters a little bit more. What about movies like that that might take a different take on a popular genre, such as comedy, mm-hmm. and make it unique?
Yeah, but those weren't budgeted as big budget blockbusters.
Mm-mm.
Gary, king of alliteration, thanks for coming to the program.
Did you like that?
Very nice. I literally liked it, logically.
Literally?
Literally, figuratively.
I was just reading.
Molly, final word.
No, I don't have a final word. I was just going to... And not a final word.
We'll go around
not
the... Final, Molly, final word.
No, but I don't... I was going to make a comment that's not my final word.
Okay.
Okay. I was reading...
Penultimate word.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article today that said with those big budget blockbusters, the IMAX went up 56%.
Really?
For the revenue that they brought in. And it was strictly from, like, the... all the ones that
Harry
you kind
Potter,
of mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter, 300. Harry Potter, 300. Beowulf, Spider-Man 3, all those. And so I feel like all these ones coming out again this summer are going to do the same thing. So it's only helping bigger theaters, bigger budgets.
Gary, final
money.
Word.
That's not my final word, though.
We'll come back to you. And say it with... I want you to really get into it, too.
Final word, I'm looking
from the diaphragm.
I can't make opinions on these things.
Final word, I'm looking forward to those summer movies you listed, but I think there's a lot of great independent / foreign
Which
films.
One of those movies are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, indie.
Jared?
Indiana Jones.
Did you mention Balls of Fury 2?
Karen Allen. Karen Allen, baby. Karen Allen.
Same questions for you, Jared. Final word and movie you're looking forward to the most.
Well, of that group, I'm going to say Iron Man.
And final word.
What is the final word? Wait, what to say? Pancakes.
Molly.
Waffles.
Beat pancakes.
I am not looking forward to those Star movies. If I have to choose one and be The Dark Knight, probably.
Not Harry Potter?
No, oh, Harry Potter.
Harry was on that list.
Harry Potter.
I got your back, Boo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Boo.
I would like to see more original films come out in the summer, but I guess...
Like a Sopranos movie.
No. But, I mean, there are places to see them if you want to see them.
Absolutely.
So, but I don't see why... One thing... I don't see why those summer movies are what 2008 is. I mean, you're saying we're looking forward to 2008. Why did those movies define 2008?
Because those are the movies that people of our listenership appreciate. That's why. Thank you.
You can actually hear the gears turning.
So they don't appreciate
smell quality.
Quality. Well, what are you looking forward to in 2008? Miss Highfalutin.
I don't know.
Thank you. You know no better than any of us. I am looking forward to the Star Trek.
The new Wong Kar Wai.
If I had looked it up before
Atonement
I came here,
Boogaloo?
If you'd given me a little... You know, advanced knowledge or advanced warning.
You never sent me your email, remember? And finally, I am looking forward to Star Trek just because I believe that will be the movie that will...
You're not even a Star Trek guy.
It will officially make Earl's head explode because it will completely change...
If we're looking for head explosions, then yeah.
I am.
I'm actually looking forward to that movie.
I am looking forward to the X-Files one, too, actually.
That could be interesting.
I'm excited to see what they're doing with a one-off.
Standalone. Well, there we go. That was the final word. Standalone, Jared.
Right on, brother.
That was a pretty good look at the year 2008, although Molly disagrees that...
We're not going to look ahead to the world of sport?
No, it wasn't...
World of sport? It's very hard to predict.
The Olympics are coming up.
Baseball.
Beijing.
Be terrible
it's
in Minnesota.
It's going to be a big deal.
What?
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving on.
Are we?
We've got a lot more show coming up. Scope Sounds. Under the scope, Jared. Push some buttons and get it going.
Here we go.
Once again, it's time for another edition of The Scope, Female Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is... Boneyard. That was The Scope, Female Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show...
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! We're going to keep it soft here on WSCP. This one goes out to all the ladies out there. Another song courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. This is Ingrid Michaelson, The Way I Am. Keep it locked. Catch you later.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. You need a light. I'd find a match, 'cause I love the way you say good morning, and you take me the way I am. If you are chilly, my sweater, your head is aching, I'll make it better, 'cause I love the way you call me baby, and you take me the way I am. Take me the way I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Yeah.
Normally we go right into the...
Oh, that's right. It's been a while. I forgot how we do the show.
Under the scope.
We can tell by that awkward pause and then a crazy sound effect. A sounder, if you will. This is Under the Scope. Normally, this is the realm of Adam, where he takes over and gives us a look at all the news, things that are coming soon, and reviews. But since he's gone, we're going to tag team it. And we're going to start it off with Gary. At the Scope News Desk. I'm very intrigued on the gun here. All right. How Gary's going to do this. Yeah. Gary, what's off the wire? Quickly.
All right, you want me to just read the headlines first, or headline and then into the news
you
for
go
that headline?
Right into the news.
And flag on the play.
We'll critique you right as you go.
All right. Nintendo tops 2007 sales numbers in industry's best year ever.
Wow.
Which means, yeah, you guys could give a rat's ass. You know who outsold was the Nintendo DS. And second...
I have a DS.
Second was the Nintendo Wii, surprisingly, considering it's impossible to find.
Do have you, do
it's
have
still
a Wii?
Sold.
Do you have a Wii, Gary?
I can't find one.
Would you buy it? Would you buy a Wii?
I would now. I would now. Carrie has gotten me addicted to Wii.
Carrie's got you addicted to her Wii?
You could say that.
I just did.
I know.
I would have thought the Wii would have outsold the DS.
What? Nope. No. Say again?
I would have thought the Wii would have outsold the
DS. Oh, but you would be wrong.
Yeah. It would have if there was numbers available.
Mm-hmm. But why don't they make the numbers available so that it does?
Because they're jerks. They're big jerks.
You know,
we've
talked about this on the show. Nintendo stands by the company line, which is, we just can't make enough. We're doing everything we can. I feel, in my heart of hearts, it's a conspiracy, just like UFOs, the Loch Ness Monster, John F. Kennedy.
It?
They are not producing enough intentionally. So demand shoots up, they get a lot of press, and everybody loves Nintendo even more.
You know, the Wii still outsold the Xbox and the PS3 in December.
Well, I love
even though you couldn't find it. So, you know, the theory that people would, if they couldn't get a Wii, they'd go to another product might have held true, but it didn't really affect the
I think
PS
there might be some
Xbox
some float over, but more the Wii is such a unique gaming experience that people will wait for it rather than go to a more standard video gaming experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say the Xbox and PlayStation are worse, they're just different.
Or you just buy a DS.
Or you just buy a DS.
Which is what I did.
And you love it.
I do.
She loves her DS.
I do.
As much as Garth Brooks.
Oh, God, I've got a place in my heart for him.
I think we've got a theory. I need to Photoshop a picture of Molly and Garth Brooks together.
Fighting. They're tearing her apart with their competing love.
All right. Exactly. Gary, what's next on the news?
Next. The Google generation not so hot at Googling after all. A new UK report on the habits of the Google generation finds that kids born since 1993 aren't quite the internet super sleuths they're sometimes made out to
be. Jared's actually Googling your story right now.
He is. For instance, teens are better with technology than older adults? Perhaps, but they also tend to use much simpler applications and fewer facilities than many imagine.
Jared's printing out your story. What
best thing, you can't, this doesn't really translate to, you know, online, but this is the cover image of the report.
It's
a blue Smurf child. He's got his little gritty teeth.
He looks
really
like
bizarre.
A mermaid from that live-action Peter Pan.
I think so. I think this story just proves that kids are as dumb as they've always been. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And my child, who is 3 years old, but is testing at almost a four-year-old level. Take that, Jared.
Oh, my God.
Four-year-old level.
I have no child to compare against. Sorry.
Wow.
One of the tests we did to figure out this, you have to put a piece of paper on the floor, and she has to jump over the piece of paper without landing on it. And she did it.
Huh?
I don't even think Gary could do that.
I could walk over it.
She also could draw a straight line.
Hey!
Thank you.
I'm awesome at that at Mario Party.
Drawing a straight line?
Mario Party 4, where you had to trace a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
I kick everybody's ass at that.
That's what he sounds like when he plays Mario Party.
I'm drawing a straight line.
I'm drawing a straight line. Look at me. You got bunnies.
They're meant to amend the show, not necessarily for commentary material.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. You know.
All right.
1 point off for Gary.
Sorry. Oh, damn it. Okay. Next story?
Yeah.
Please.
Can I? Thank you. Can I do it? Mike Huckabee. You know where this is going? Mike Huckabee wants to amend the Constitution to be more godly. The United States Constitution never uses the word God or makes mention of any religion, drawing its sole authority from we the people. However, Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee thinks it's time to put an end to that. quoting, "I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution," Huckabee told a Michigan audience on Monday, "but I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view."
I don't even know where to start with this, but I'm going to go right to Molly and let her piss off all of our audience. Molly, what say you?
Is he an idiot?
Close, Republican.
Wow. I am a Republican.
Are you really?
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
No.
I'm sorry.
You're wearing a hat like that and you're a Republican?
I am.
Get out of town.
Just keeping an elephant under there.
I'm a very moderate Republican, but I am.
So let's get right into it. Who would you vote for in the election if you could vote for anyone?
Anyone right now, who would be your number one?
If you could pick the winner.
I don't like talking about politics.
Well, no one listens to the show, so it's just like we're talking about.
I'd vote for McCain right now.
If I had
New Hampshire.
If I had to vote for Republican, I would vote for him as well.
Mm-hmm. I like him. I like
Beyond
McCain.
His racist remarks, I kind of like that Ron Paul, if you want to know the truth. But sorry, can't help it. But
no.
I wouldn't vote for either one of them.
No, Fred Thompson?
You Democrat candidate? No. Shane, who would you vote for?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I couldn't tell you.
It's a really interesting race.
Yeah, I think that one will shape the face of politics more than the Republican nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to say, because I think that will be a reactionary vote, you know?
Well, do you think the Republicans have a shot at taking the White
sure,
House?
Sure, I absolutely do.
I hope so.
I don't hope so, but...
I don't want to see...
Did you say that the last two elections
what
too,
Molly?
What Molly
is saying is she does not ever want to see a woman or a black man as the president of the United States, and I think we all know where she's going with
only
that.
God-fearing white men should run the country.
So do you believe that we should be changing the Constitution to be more godlike?
No, I don't.
Godly?
No.
So would you vote for Mike Huckabee if he were the Republican nominee, which he very well could be?
No, probably not.
Wow. Would you vote? Okay.
Romney?
I'm Republican, but I don't vote down the line.
Would you say our Dark Lord Mephistopheles is unfairly represented in the Constitution? Or not represented? I think we need to get him in there.
Oh, you know what? I agree with you.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
This is kind of like the Packers versus the Patriots debate. who would you rather get in if you had to vote for either Hillary Clinton... or Mike Huckabee.
Which
who would you vote for?
Wait, which one's Brett Favre?
I would find some other random candidate that I liked better.
Would you write in Gary?
I might write in Adam.
Wow, well then, yeah, he's got no chance.
A Jew's not taking the White House.
No. Not if Gary has anything to say about it.
What about a Hindu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Shane, who would you pick right now?
Where are my stretching tires?
I'm going to say this right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I would pick for the Democratic nominee.
Who are you leaning towards?
I'm honestly not leaning towards anyone. I think everyone has their pluses and minuses. It will obviously come down to Hillary and Obama.
So
and whoever wins out of those two, I will vote for that person.
You don't think Edwards has a shot?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So you vote down the line?
No, I don't, but in this election, I will vote Democratic.
Hey, Shane.
Putting out
there. Last time I checked, this was a pop culture show.
Yeah, we're totally...
All right.
I didn't go there. I didn't go there. That was Shane.
Jared, I got your
Obama
back right now.
If Obama wins a nomination, will you vote for him? Molly Ringwald.
Don't do it to myself, but you moron.
Ready, Jared? Here we go, Jared.
Next. Yeah.
Next. Time Warner to test internet billing based on usage.
Don't do it to myself, but you moron.
The end is near. Time Warner Cable Inc. said on Wednesday it is planning a trial to bill high-speed internet subscribers based on their amount of usage rather than a flat fee, the standard industry practice.
Oh, really?
That's bullshit.
Tell us more, Jared.
I'm just saying.
That's bullshit.
You don't get the bandwidth you're supposedly paying for anyway, so why should they be able to charge you more if you use a whole bunch?
The company believes the billing system will impact only heavy users. Meth, who account for around 5% of all customers, but typically use more than half of the total network bandwidth, according to a company spokesman.
Are they going to charge me less then if I don't use it all?
No, I think there's two fees on that. There's a high and a low. So, but I think that the low is probably going to be what it is, and then they'll charge more for people that are using more bandwidth. And by the way, that's directed...
What about people who use more drugs?
That's directed at people like... the individuals we were talking about that download a lot of music illegally and movies, stuff like that. So the idea is that they're going to curb the usage of illegal downloads and make money off of it.
Yes, the company said the problem will worsen as video downloading becomes more popular.
They're going to have to buck up their infrastructure then, because it's coming.
Yeah, buck it up.
But you ever tried downloading produce? It doesn't quite work.
Doesn't work.
No.
a lemon right through the cable.
just got a head shake from Molly. That's it.
So, Gary, are there any new stories?
That's all I can muster.
That's all, yeah. That's all the ones that you wanted me to read. The others are X'd out.
Very nice. 50 minutes into the show, Jared. We're already through news. Let's move on.
Fantastic.
Let's move on to reviews.
Did I sound better than
Adam? My mouse is lost. Hold on.
You did do a good job. A nice voice.
Nice job.
Reviews. In our roundtable attack on Under the Scope, it's time for the reviews, and I will be handling this segment.
Fantastic. What do I do?
You'll be hitting buttons. Let
Shane handle you.
This week, we cast our critical eye on American Gladiators. It's the latest reality show hit from NBC. This version, hosted by Hulk Hogan and Layla Ali, that would be the daughter of Muhammad Ali,
Cassius Clay.
Stays true to the original formula, the premise of American Gladiators, for those of you too young or cool to know what that is. If you've forgotten, match athletes against each other, as well as against the show's own gladiators in contests of strength, agility, and endurance. Brand new gladiators such as Blast, Justice, Mayhem, and the Hottie Crush. Can you agree with me on that, Gary?
I don't remember Blast.
I'll give you amen.
Blast is on there.
I don't recall a Blast in the credits.
It's right from the NBC website, so there's a Blast.
Okay.
Do their best imitations of Running Man cast-offs while flexing their muscles at every opportunity. The amateurs compete in events with names like The Assault, The Wall, The Eliminator, which is a giant and exhausting obstacle course. In our first clip, Miss Ali explains the point of the show, the point of The Eliminator, and the pointlessness of her interviewing skills.
It has already proven too much for many of our brand contenders. What will it have in store tonight? It's time for The Eliminator. Remember, the winner here will land himself a spot in the final eight alongside Moley and Shanae, Anthony and Venus, and Adonis and Cien, as well as a chance to win $100,000, a 2008 Toyota Sequoia, and the right to become a new American Gladiator. Okay, Sherrod, our algebra teacher, it's easy math. Thanks to your strong 8-point lead, you'll be getting a 4-second head start. Do you think it's going to be too much for Andy? He's going to flunk out here?
Well, I want to run a good race. I'm going to go out there and give it the best I can. And hopefully that head start will give me a victory.
Okay, I hope so, too, because you know that the Eliminator is tough by design. Okay, are you worried that you might be the next victim of the Travelator? Because that thing has just been tearing people up.
My coach taught me to embrace the pain. So when it gets painful, I'm just going to hold on and go for the ride.
All right, we're going to bring it all right. Now, Minister Andy, since replacing Adam, who was injured early on, you put on quite a show. But you are down 4 seconds. What's the plan here?
Honestly, I just want to represent for Adam. I want to give him a good show, and I really want to win for him.
I'm ready to see it. It's preacher against teacher. Come on!
I love it. She's completely ad-libbing that whole thing. Yeah. No one's feeding her any lines whatsoever.
She's a natural. She is a natural.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
that Travelator is brutal.
Guess what, guys? What happens when a competitor doesn't win? Let's listen to Hulk Hogan interview a guy that takes his loss a little too seriously.
Come on in, Jeff. One hell of a man, brother. You gave it your all, brother.
Sorry, you gave me a faulty clip.
Brother,
sorry.
Your quest has come to an end. What was the toughest part, brother?
Brother.
Waiting 14 years.
I watched
I'm just
episode.
Happy. I'm happy NBC and the American Gladiators gave me a shot to come back after 14 years. This means a lot to me. And I want to say thank you. And I want to thank my mom and my dad for coming out. I want to thank my family and friends. And I want to most importantly thank my beautiful wife, Nicole.
And I take my strength trainer.
Keep it together.
Like I said, brother, nothing but respect for you, my friend. You're one hell of a man. I love you to death.
I'm going to thank Nitro for my inspiration.
Yeah, my third grade teacher.
I waited 14 years.
You know it's a show of true quality
when
when it can make contestants cry. Everyone, the ratings hit American Gladiators can be found on your local NBC affiliate every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time, Central Standard Time. So let's go on to the reviews. I think we've all at least watched one episode of the Gladiators program. I'm going to pass it over to Gary. What do you think, Gary? Is this an appropriate revival of the show, or is it just a big old mess?
You know, I say at least it's a reality show where contestants are actually competing for something as opposed to a dating reality show or something, so I'm all for it.
There's nothing fake about it. I mean, these guys are going out there and getting their asses handed to them, or they're whooping a little ass, either way.
They are. I'm enjoying it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's swing over to the lady.
Are you a black woman?
Mm-hmm. I'm a lawyer.
Molly, you've watched
You're not going to be president.
So says Molly. Molly.
Yes. Never. No, I don't feel that way. Not at all. What?
Okay.
Did you say Garth Brooks? You know I don't really like him,
she's
right?
She's tiny.
Let's have a little fun. That's
Molly, you've watched Gladiators. Yeah, you love these big, oily bohunks.
Oh, my God. I am a bohunk.
What do you think of this program? Better than the original? Worse than the original?
And you like men who howl.
Ow!
My roommate loves Wolf, by the way.
What? Oh.
Come on, stick with it.
Sorry. I'm distracted.
It's Wolf in the studio.
I'm distracted by Jared.
That happens all the time.
No. Jared, stop
Jared, we'll just take, we'll take all her crap out in post. Don't worry about it.
She's not even recording. I'm just kidding.
Okay, Molly, back to the task at hand.
When I was little, I loved the show, but I feel like I've outgrown it.
Gary's got a hernia.
So, I mean, it's, they're strong people, but the writing is not
so succinctly said, Jared, you've got opinions, and you your opinion actually ties into the score.
Yes,
so we
it
must
does.
Hear what you have to say.
It's very important. You know, I had a lot of fun when we watched the premiere episodes, the two episodes they aired on Sunday night in a group setting. We all were cheering around.
You were so mean to that guy.
And we were all sitting around in our underwear.
Yeah, it was.
Don't ask why.
It was really a bonding experience. And
were you wrestling?
We were wrestling.
It was close.
A little bit of
we almost had our own competition. Wolf was there. And no, Chris, anyway.
Crisco.
Throwing Nerf balls at each other.
I like the staging of the events. I thought they were done well. Hulk Hogan and Leila Ali. Hulk Hogan does a decent job, but he's way too high energy. But that's who he is.
Brother!
Leila Ali is
terrible.
I think she's getting better, but she's still not great.
I think she's terrible.
I initially took offense to the... Or not really offense, but I didn't necessarily like how tightly edited the original couple episodes were. I think I've either gotten used to it, or they've kind of relaxed on the tightness of the editing in subsequent episodes. But
the original show was edited quite a bit,
was
though,
it?
Too.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I haven't watched any in a long time.
It was.
So, I mean, it felt like it maybe moved a little faster than it should have, but I don't know. But in the end, it's people fighting against, really muscle-bound people in silly events, and I had fun watching it. I can't help it.
So, have you watched
Well, considering
all
of the most of the events are 60 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
the events go pretty fast.
And you know what?
Except the Eliminator at the end, and even that one is like 2.5 minutes.
Exactly. I think, the show is like a 6-episode show, so it'll be over and done with.
I think it's 8.
You know what I loved?
24, maybe.
Guts on Nickelodeon.
Guts.
Guts. It's like the little the kid
kids
form.
Rip off
the
of
kids
American
rip off of American Gladiators. I thought that was fantastic.
They've taken some events from that ninja
that
show from Japan.
Television, that
yeah, they've taken,
that,
they've that taken
be,
concepts.
I would
yeah.
love that. Yeah. I would love that.
I also think it's silly that they have to swim and then climb up the cargo.
That's all intentional. So
there was something that they did, maybe the barrel roll that fell off of, and there was no real penalty
for that
or the hand cart. They used to have a penalty, didn't they?
In
the original
show, they would hold you for 5 seconds or whatever. They need to do that again, because I wouldn't even do the barrel roll. I just jump off, and then I jump off the hand thing.
And then you get your 15-second head start, and it pretty much ends up being worthless.
Yeah.
Exactly. It all comes down to the Travelator.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me give you my...
And that's some funny stuff.
Let me give you my opinion. I watched American Gladiators a lot. Actually, I watched it right when it came out, originally in 88, 89.
I watched it all.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I liked about the original that this show does not have is... they played it almost like a wide world of sports, where they had this guy, Mike Adamly, who was... He almost seemed like he had credibility as a sports commentator, and he anchored the show, and then they would have co-hosts that would go out and do the interviews. Mm-hmm. This show doesn't have that. It kind of has this generic announcer who isn't very good, and he's there sometimes and not others. So I think if they had somebody like this, Mike Adamly, or if they went and got somebody from ESPN or even NBC Sports.
Tony Kornheiser,
Somebody out there that could help frame the picture a little bit more rather
What's
than what they have.
One guy's name.
Do they have Atlas Ball? No, they don't have Atlas.
What's the ESPN guys who did Dancing Atlasphere. With the Stars? Yeah. Yes. Kenny Mayne doing it.
Well, Kenny Mayne's still more like Atlas Ball's World's Strongest Man.
Kenny Mayne, Atlasphere.
They don't have that because it takes up a lot of space. Yeah. That's the problem. So, you know, I'm kind of like,
do it on water. Well, you could do it on water.
I'm kind of like Jared. I like the show. I think that a little bit's going to go a long way. I hope that when it comes back, because they have given the green light for another series of this, that they fine tune it and maybe bring in some elements that make it a little less goofy, and they fire.
Maybe fall 2008.
I think fall 2008 or January 2008 or March 2008, depending upon who at the table you believe.
It's cheap to produce. They could do one this summer.
Oh, totally, very easily.
Yeah, why not?
And they don't have to worry about the WGA.
We could do our own and put it on YouTube.
So, Jared, let's give this sucker a score.
Okay.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
Above average, Shane. Above average.
Above average. Wow.
That beat the girlfriend's review, right?
Everything's beat the girlfriend's review. Gary, that is a new low in television.
Guess what? We've got one more segment in Under the Scope. That would be coming soon.
Coming soon.
Don't fuck this up, Molly.
It's all on Molly's shoulders. Let's see if a girl can do a man's work. Molly, what's coming soon?
Or Adam's work.
So coming soon in music on January 22nd, which is this Tuesday, we've got Cat Power's Jukebox, which is just another edition of her covers album. And we've got Super Furry Animals' Hey Venus CD release and The Wigs' Mission Control. On January 29th, we've got Joe Jackson's Rain.
Wake up, Gary.
Oh, sorry.
We're supposed to be interrupting the person.
I don't even know this okay. musician's you know English, right? number. I don't know that number.
Let's see if she gets it right, everybody. Okay, let's make bets. Will she get this Roman numeral correct, Jared?
No.
14. Louis the 14th.
That's
Slick
correct.
Dogs and Ponies and the Mars Volta, the Bedlam and Goyth.
Out of all of these albums, what are you looking forward to?
The Bedlam and Goya? What?
Goyleth?
Let me see this.
Goyleth?
Goliath?
Keep trying. Where is Goliath?
Is it Goliath?
I can't read out.
Jared, we are 1 hour and 1 minute in. Please make a note to get that sound clip, and we will be using that somewhere.
Goyleth?
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 Goyleth? Well, this show is Goyful.
Goyful.
I don't read...
Molly, let me ask you a question. Molly, do you have
motion pictures?
Do you have a favorite episode of the Scop?
The Scope, Shane. Scope.
Scope.
That's Azuipe.
Shatine.
What's coming up in Mouvaise?
Motion pictures.
Cemetery. Spachemin.
Opening January 25th, we have Rambo. Sylvester Stallone puts on another sweaty bandana as John Rambo. We have Seed.
Yeah.
A psychotic killer claws his way out of his premature grave and
claws
murders
in Santa Claus?
And murders a whole lot of people.
Are you going to go see Teeth, Molly?
I'm not there yet. Wait, it's not even on the list. No, I'm not going to see Teeth. Untraceable Diane Lane must track down a tech-savvy sadist before he makes her his next internet victim.
It sounds like Jared's life story.
Diane Lane got old suddenly. Because she was hot for the longest time.
Yeah, and then she just, one day, go over the top.
It's really weird.
Unfaithful was just on TV the other day, and I rewatched it.
Did you love it?
I really like Oliver Martinez.
Well, who doesn't?
I know, right?
Who was that?
Gary's raising his hand.
He doesn't like
visual
him.
Visual loss on the world of podcasting.
Okay.
What else?
Thank you, Johnny.
On February...
the radio!
Let's continue.
You look great,
on February 1st, we have The Eye. Jessica Alba gets a new set of eyes that aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Yikes.
Not cracked up.
good one, Molly.
I know, 2020 vision. I know. Over her dead body, Eva Longoria may be dead, but that won't stop her from interfering with her fiancé's new relationship.
Wait, is she
relationship.
Dead or her career dead? Either one is...
Is Desperate Housewives still on?
Have you guys seen commercials for this movie?
I don't watch commercials.
I haven't even seen commercials.
Terrible.
What are commercials?
No.
Looks terrible.
Was this a movie that was shelved and then they were like, oh, we need to put something out?
It should have been. I don't know.
They always put these kind of movies out.
Yeah, it's low budget.
February.
They figure
no
Desperate Housewives fans
them.
Will see it and they'll make a little bit of money.
What about all the editing they're doing to Fanboys?
That's
Yeah. Who cares?
One more.
I do.
Strange Wilderness. A wilderness show tries to boost ratings by finding Bigfoot. And that's got Justin Long in it. By the way, my little sister's... Mm-hmm. Story real quick.
Barack Obama.
My little sister's boyfriend, their family owns a fly and fishing resort in Canada. Mm-hmm. The History Channel believes they have found Sasquatch and Bigfoot up in their fly and fishing resort.
What? Yeah. Okay, explain this to me. This, I love this cryptozoology business. Come on.
So they think that Bigfoot or Sasquatch, whatever, is hanging out up around the resort. The History Channel went in with their Monster Quest, and they had all their. That was the first episode, I think. The first one was the Loch Ness Monster.
What
in Lake
did they
Champlain.
Find in the first one?
So no, it's just a one-off episode.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so they Come take on, nails. Jeff, they take nails and they Channel stick 54. Them to a board and put them around these cabins that all been destroyed.
So they get fur on.
So
it?
They get fur and DNA, and they're doing testing, and apparently it's all inconclusive so far. But they're pretty sure that they've got.
All I know is OJ is still not in the woods.
And I just think it's interesting that it turns out to be, it's on History Channel, everything that turns out to be my little sister's boyfriend's family resort.
So that's me ask a question about
this. So your little sister is dating Bigfoot? Is that?
And have they
when's the wedding?
Soon.
Is his
no,
name
I don't know.
Are they Harry? Is his name Harry?
How did you know?
Goliath.
So has this family ever seen Bigfoot before?
The dad thinks that he may have seen it. Well, no, it's not. No, the family hasn't seen it. It's the guests that are saying they've seen it, and then the cabins are all destroyed.
Is Bigfoot destroying the cabins?
Yeah.
Aunt Bunny's a Bigfoot Gus.
Are they sure that maybe Led Zeppelin isn't just there hanging out? Destroying? Maybe the Who?
John Lithgow?
So I don't know.
Pictures or videos?
I didn't watch the episode. I heard
Scott
it secondhand.
Scott Baio is 46 and Yeti.
It's enough for them to take all these scientists up there and do a whole
Well, I've got to watch that. I'm
it.
Fascinated.
So it's Monster Quest on the History Channel, and it's the Sasquatch episode.
Okay, well, we'll be tuning in for sure. There's no doubt about it. What's coming out on DVD?
I'm going to do a TiVo swivel search for it.
On DVD.
You're stupid, and you wouldn't know how to do it.
For January 22nd, we have Adrift in Manhattan, ER Season 8, Saw 4, Sydney White, Torchwood, Complete First Series, Swamp Thing, Complete First Series. And then for January 29th...
Gary, you've seen all the Saw movies. What's your favorite?
I've only seen Saw 1, and it didn't do it for me.
I think those movies are terrible. I've never seen them, and I'm judging them by never seeing them. I'm a terrible person.
I've never seen them, but I would only watch the first
Jared,
one
have
just
seen,
for
Jared, have you seen Saw?
I have no interest in...
Okay, see, my big...
I don't want to see part 4.
Can I give away a stupid little plot point that ruined it for me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, spoiler alert. 8 years out of touch, but it's a spoiler alert.
Danny Glover is playing this... Plays this... Danny Glover's in the first Saw movie.
He is?
I thought it was just Cary Elwes. Danny Glover. Okay.
Glover.
Glover.
So Danny Glover plays this cop who's tracking Cary Elwes' character, and he's in this dilapidated, rented apartment, this really beaten down like no-tell motel type place. Mm-hmm. Cary Elwes is this rich doctor who's got this beautiful, gorgeous house. Danny Glover is supposedly watching Cary Elwes at his house through the blinds of his motel. And I'm like, there's no way a cheap-ass motel would be right across the street from this really nice house. That's all.
And that's
and
the
that
only
ru-
fault
that
you have
it
with
for
the
you?
Film?
Well, no, that's the one where really? I was just like, come on. Come on. I can suspend disbelief on a lot of stuff, but that, no.
Picky.
What about hot teens
picky,
making out in a
picky,
robot
picky.
Car?
Can
you suspend
no, I couldn't. Wow. That was creepy, too.
I didn't see that movie.
There we go. What else is coming out on DVD
Saw
or video
was
games?
Better than Transformers.
Wow, there you go.
I didn't
Saw
see it.
Better than Transformers.
And I didn't see it.
Fred, final word.
On January 29th, we've got Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 6, Daddy Day Camp, which I am really excited about.
You tell them, girl.
And, oh my God, The Invasion, which was amazing.
Wait, is that Daddy Day Camp 2?
No. Daddy Daycare and then Daddy Daycare.
The Invasion. Is that the TV series, right?
The Invasion is the Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah.
The remake of The Invasion and the Body Snatchers. Terrible reviews. I'd wanted to see it until the reviews came out, and I said no.
I said no.
That came out the same weekend
as... I didn't want to see it.
It's Superbad, because I was going to go... skip Super work Bad. And Super go to Bad. Both of them.
Super Bade.
Super Bade.
What's coming Super out on what's Bade. Coming out on video games, Molly?
So, for video games, we've got the week of January 20th through the 26th.
Yes.
We've got Endless Ocean on the Wii, which is $121. We got Burnout Paradise.
It costs
Paradise.
$121?
No, $121 date.
January
21.
Adam
would have
said January 21st.
Well,
thank you.
You know what? You put in $121. Okay.
It would have also given the time.
Can you change that to Roman numerals?
All right. We'll
yeah. What was that in Roman numerals?
We'll continue.
And base six.
We'll continue. Burnout.
Wow. These are taking no guff.
Burnout Paradise for the Xbox 360 and PS3. And that's on January 22nd.
Thank you.
And we've got Advance Wars Days of Ruin on the DS, and that's January 21st.
Mm-hmm.
January 27th Sorry. Through February 2nd.
I need to sample that. Just shake up. Mm-hmm.
Turek.
What was that game?
Giggity giggity.
What was that game? Say it again.
No.
Say it again.
Come on.
Oh, you're banned from the show forever.
You know you want
and
to.
And that's on Xbox 360.
I think she said Turk.
No, I said Turok.
She said Turek.
Oh, I thought she said Turk.
It was a soft, though. It was Turek.
Turek.
But I think that's acceptable.
Turk. We're talking about Turk
wait,
on
the judges
program.
The judges
accept it.
That's on Xbox 360 and the PS3 on January 29th. And we've got Bomberman Land on the Wii and the
Bomberman
PSP
Land.
On January 29th.
Anything for the DS?
The DS was only the 21st with Advance Wars Days of Ruin.
Could you recap all the 360 games?
What about the Atari Jaguar?
You know what? I was not provided with that information, so oh. I talked to Shane about that.
Shane, anything?
Original Nintendo Entertainment System, anything coming out?
Donkey Kong number 6.
Donkey Kong
wow.
6.
You made a lot of fanboys happy, I think.
You heard it first, breaking news, Donkey Kong 6, skipping 2 through 5.
Dr. Mario 2.0.
There Very was a nice. Donkey Kong 3, by the way.
What?
There was a Donkey Kong 3.
I know, I had it.
Yeah. You shot, like, spray up Donkey
oh,
Kong's
Oh, that's
ass.
Right. Nothing better than
you
that.
You shot spray up donkey up
was,
his ass?
It was, like,
no,
is that what you said?
No,
Donkey Kong gynecological.
It was pesticide. He was squirting pesticide right
oh,
up his butthole.
I
only had
bees.
Donkey Kong for the Super Nintendo.
So that wraps up under the scope, Jared.
Yeah, it does.
Under the scope.
Jared, I think you're practically hunched over from all the comments we've gotten.
It is a burden I have to carry, Shane. You know, I think everyone is on vacation or they have some other valid excuse because for our last two episodes, that includes the New Year's Eve episode and episode 42,
or as
that,
I call it, the disaster show.
Either one, Shane, whatever you call it, it did not garner any comments.
Hey,
I wish
I left
not
a
an
comment.
Email.
I left a comment.
All you said is you want a trophy. We know that. Molly wants a trophy.
We get it.
I actually wish I had commented this on that last one so you guys would have read it in front of me this time.
That would have been awesome.
Gary
I
says,
do want a trophy.
Gary says, I wish I would have commented on that last one.
I didn't listen to the show, but I'm sure I can just fill in my standard comments here.
Ouch.
Shane,
I have
you're
comments?
A little overbearing. Adam, I'm kind of getting used to. And Jared, you're awesome as always. Thank you. Signed, Gary.
And wait, Molly.
And Molly, we need more Molly.
We
Molly
need
should
more
be on
Molly.
All the time.
Molly, Molly.
Especially when I'm there.
Hey, all I said was I wanted to meet Molly that one time.
And so now you've met her. What do you think?
She's a little cocky.
Scale of 1 to 10, where'd you rank her?
Be honest. I'm just kidding.
Well, she did kick my butt in trivia.
No, my team did. My team was awesome.
It was
awesome.
A team effort. Come on.
We won a trophy.
She had a ringer, and Gary completely let you let his team down.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
Husker Du.
And then Carrie with the
my,
cane.
It all
miserable.
Came down to Husker Du.
My ringer was amazing. I'll just say that.
Scale of 1
of course,
to 10.
I want to be involved with the prince category.
And back to Gary. Scale of 1 to 10.
10 being the highest?
10 being the highest.
I'm going to go with a 9.
How about...
Like why did you tell me 4 before the show started?
On what?
Molly's.
Oh, I thought we were just throwing out a number.
I'm going to go with
Molly's
7. I think she's interesting, and I would love to hear more from
she's
her.
She's got a good beat, and you dance to her. Thank you. Jared, back to you.
I'd go out dancing with her,
That's
sure.
That's it, Shane. There are no comments.
Molly, you want to go out
what
dancing?
I do have some plugs.
Okay, some plugs.
I'm just going to plug that my band, the Possible
you.
Oscar.
I know.
Possible
doesn't
Oscar.
It?
Is appearing at two upcoming conventions.
It's Ain't Love Connection.
What?
Sorry.
Did you say Oscar?
2 and 2.
Sorry, Shane. I'll hold your hand again.
My band, Possible Oscar, will be performing at MarsCon in Bloomington, Minnesota. That is the convention is February 29th through March 2nd. We're performing on Saturday, March 1st. I believe 4:30 p.m. is our showtime. And that is, you can get more information at marscon.com. And just booked this week, we're appearing in Madison, Wisconsin, on April 4th through 6th at OdysseyCon. And you can go to OddCon, that's oddcon.org, for more information.
And they're going to like you because sometimes Jared cheers for Brett Favre. Thank you. Molly, any appearances or plugs you need to make?
No.
Gary, please.
No, I'm out of theater at the moment.
He's out of theater. He's out of touch. He's out of time.
My job conflicts.
Wow.
My new job.
A little Hall & Oates there for you, huh?
Thank you.
You'll probably find Big me Bang, at, boom, your, album. At your local Give it out movie here, theater. Hall & Oates on WSAB.
I want to take a quick poll. Who will be seeing Cloverfield?
I will.
Gary?
Carrie will.
Carrie will. What about you, Molly?
I will not.
Well, too
Why?
Bad.
It's a Hollywood movie.
I've got four movies on top of my list right now that I've got to see.
What four are those?
What are they?
Elvin and the Chipmunks three times, and what's the fourth?
I've got to see Persepolis, The Driving Bell and the Butterfly, 27 Dresses, and then next week when
27
comes-
Dresses?
I know. I need a chick flick.
Honestly, Molly. Turn her mic off now.
Honestly. Let me see a chick flick, okay? I need a good chick flick.
Well, when a good one comes up,
I heard
go
it's not
it.
That one.
Well, I know it doesn't. Just it's not see, supposed to be good.
Just
but
go
I
watch
need
When
one.
Harry Met Sally or something.
Mm-hmm. I need something new. And then the 4 days.
Just old as
or
bad.
4 months, 3 days, two
Oh,
days.
That one got denied at the
denied.
Oscars.
Denied.
The Oscars.
The Oscar nominations.
When were they?
They provided the shortlist, and that one was not on it, and there's a
oh,
big furor.
Oh, shortlist, yeah.
A shortlist, Jared.
I'm not
well,
on the shortlist.
So it'll be between The Driving Bell and the Butterfly and Persepolis and Balthra and Kite Runner or something like that. No, well, Kate wasn't on there, was
I
it?
Can
no.
almost guarantee that a review of Cloverfield will be forthcoming on the next episode of The Scope.
All right, in.
Gerard.
It'll be, you know, perfectly in time with it, too.
Jared.
Well, people want to know what we think about it.
I know.
Jared.
Okay, you think of something from a week from now that we can all watch, you little bastard.
Why don't you all go see movies that are going to be nominated for Best Picture
That's
and
what
comment
I
on
do.
Those? Because we're, those are we're talking about,
I
like, the battle
see.
Between how every, either the critics like No Country or they like There'll Be Blood, but they don't necessarily like both of them.
Well, Jared and I are going to go hand in hand to see Juno fairly soon.
No Country for
I've seen it twice already.
But we haven't
There
seen
Will
it.
Be Blood is number one on my list of movies to see.
I want to see
I saw
no
There Will Be Blood and I saw No Country.
Well, you're
I
great.
Saw No Country
I know.
Then. But I'm a huge Paul
Well,
Thomas
some of
Anderson
us have
fan.
Lives, Molly.
I know.
Yeah, lives, lady.
We have to tape podcasts. Oh, wait, that's you guys. I don't
know. I'd go No Country over There Will Be Blood.
There we go. Okay, wow. So everybody, want to, I want to let
can't
you know.
Can't wait to be able to make a decision.
It comes hey. Down to the endings, which ending you like better.
Okay. I got
to
get this under control.
We're having a song. We're talking movies.
That's
really.
What she
We're
said.
It's the end of the show. We want to keep this tight. So
that's what she
18
said.
18 minutes.
I've got 15 minutes of D-Block music. We can talk all we want.
Very nice. Well, listen.
Yeah.
I want to put Guy a Brooks, hearty right? thanks out to Gary and Molly. Gary and Molly, thank you very much for being on the show. I think that together you wipe out Adam, and he's got a lot to prove the next time he comes in. A lot to prove.
Poor Adam.
And I hope Adam gets all his business taken care of, and he can get it straight and come on in on
a
the
big
next show, maybe.
Shout out to Adam.
Otherwise, we're going to have to change the intro, Jared.
Yeah, we're going
to
have to.
And I also want to thank Jared for doing such a great job on episode 40. He doesn't get enough credit,
thank
does
you,
he?
Jared.
You're welcome.
Thank
he
you.
Doesn't get enough credit.
I do it for all of you. Do it for all
My
of
favorite
you.
New kid is Jared.
New
and with that, we're going to end the show.
Hit some buttons, Jared.
Is that it?
Episode 43 is in the can. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying hasta la vista. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.